It's so interesting. When I was in Columbia College, when I was in Columbia College during that time, that was around the time too that we were meeting with the Insomniacs. We're meeting in the garage at Brian and Steve's, and we were working on writing. And we had a very collaborative vibe where there was no competition, there was no ego, there's no talked bad about each other. No one stabbed each other in the back. Like, everyone was just purely, we let each other be who we were. And I think what happened was because we all realized that we were all there for a harmonic vibe, we were all there for a harmonic spirit. And I think I was so spoiled with those times, us reading our poetry to each other, and us, it was like, now this day, these days they call it a boot camp. But it was in a sense our own boot camp where we could. I frequently thought of Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg and all those guys way back in the day, and all the beat poets and all those guys, all those great artists who would hang out with each other and collaborate with each other. And I was so spoiled with that ensemble mindset. And then when I went to Columbia College and there, I got further training in exactly learning the definition of, oh, what you're doing. This is an ensemble mindset, and I didn't realize that that's what we had been doing with our writing group that whole time, the ensemble mindset. So then they taught me that ensemble mindset about, no one is any better than anybody else. All, just give your vibe to the project, give your vibe to it, and everything else gets taken care of. And oh my God, it was such a great vibe. And then at that time, I was in improv groups, which I was spoiled with even further, which was more yes and opening up the mind. So I just want to say that, wow, that was such. It's all because of that, dude. That's what helped me t lift off to California, was all that great knowledge that I learned from you guys.
I couldn't even describe, like, I remember as an artist, I was like struggling, and then I remember the first time you guys had me come to the garage. I was typing with you guys. I remember the first time, like, I got to get the newsletter or the book that they were putting out. I got to write my poetry or my short writings in there. Like, little things like that. And it's like, ensemble mindset. Because I remember, like, I was like, whatever project you guys would come up with, whoever it was, you would do your best to involve the other artists. You'd be like, oh, that person's an artist, let's get him in. Like, you and I used to film videos, remember? Like, we'd be like, they weren't the greatest videos, they were just us moving around the park. But we were both like, we're going to have a good time today,
Oh my God. It was such a great feeling of that, everybody's growing the same reality together. We're all in it together for the reality. Oh, and when the Wisniewskis were writing their book, remember when they were, for their comic book, right? And they were asking for different character suggestions.
I remember, like, I initially had a hard time getting the book, but then Brian, I think it was Brian, one of the players, was like, I wrote something about I wrote a poem about a kid basically really mean to the other kids, and then when he died, he turned into a pumpkin. And he was like, that was deep.
Dude, that's awesome.
He was like, wow, you really took that at an angle I didn't expect it to go. And I was like, thanks. But I remember that's what led me to starting my own stuff. Remember, like, I had my own group of writers. I like to crank up my writers.
Dude, you know what? I would love to see you publish those Tempest books. Even without.
I think publishing them, I'm going to publish them probably with your writing, my writing, probably like being weird. Like, I talked to my lawyer about it. Like, if you can't get permission from the other writers, get the permission from the writers you can get permission from,
Yeah.
And I said, well, I know for a fact Kurt was buying, so Tom's there.
Well, dude, I mean, what. So the issue is just that they just don't, they're embarrassed by their own writing.
It's not the people that are embarrassed. I have to contact them all. Some people don't want to publish, right? Some people don't want to publish as well, which is fair. And the issue with my lawyer's basically now, he's a family friend, but he's like, every little move I make, he keeps an eye on me to make sure I'm doing something dumb.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's like, you're out of something with wanting to publish. He read some of the stuff, loved it. From your stuff, he's like, get permission from Kurt, get permission from James. Then we can publish it, right? Because he's like, if you don't have permission to publish it, you might be fine. He was like, think about it this way. He's like, what if you published it? And then she's like, oh, he published it without my permission.
Oh.
To cause trouble.
Yeah.
So he was like, get permission from the people that say yes. So, like,
yeah.
I figure I can get you. I'll get Jason. I'll get Greg. My sister will sign.
So, do you still have the original files? Like, do you still have those original files where you could just go, okay, I can reprint it without these?
I still have a chunk of the old Word document, yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Because we're
trying to
convert each one.
Dude, you came out with so many volumes. You came out with, like, wasn't it, like, at least 10? There were more than, there was 30. I thought so. Holy moly,
yeah.
Dude. Dude, you got so many. Now, would you, I mean, if you, even if you came out with one of those a year for the next 30 years, you know, or imagine if you already got them and you come out with two of them a year, or shit, even three, one a month.
Doing like a small Kickstarter with like 12 issues, like, or like five of them at a time. That's a small little book, you know? It wouldn't cost that much to produce, you know? It costs like $2 a book, maybe even $1 a book, because it's literally just print, right? There's no photos. It's literally gonna look like a newspaper coming to you, you know? It hurts. Try.
Wow, man. You know, especially in this day and age, what I absolutely love so much, I mean, it just keeps coming back to me. Like, one of the big things that I always envisioned and hoped for was the idea that one day I would have my own network, my own network TV stations, my own TV stations, my own radio stations, my own media kingdom. And just that idea of going, holy cow, we are each our own radio stations, we are each our own production companies now. I mean, we just got a cell phone, bam, there's our camera, bam, there it is. You know, it's everything can be easily distributed on our own. I love it. It's so exciting.
I mean, I still like the fact that you're doing the radio station stuff. I was like, I got a little mic at home with a fan and everything, and I've been using Adobe Audition to record stuff.
That's great.
And then I was looking at, like, SoundCloud, or I looked up three places to post a podcast, basically. A couple of places came up. Some places were better than others, but basically you just record whatever you want. You know, and like, I hope, like, you know, I think the, what do you think about for YouTube, the problem with that is it was this video and it made people nervous. But I was like, all right, what if I took that idea to a podcast angle where it's just spoken word, where nobody's watching you?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes people less worried about what their faces look like when they're saying certain sentences, or, you know, whether they are just sitting there in their pajamas, or, you know,
they can just... I'm looking into software for it, their software for podcasting, because I'm trying to figure out how to do, like, multiple channels, so if I did an episode, I had you on. So if I had you on, I would have, like...
Awesome. Oh, dude,
right?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is the thing is, just to kind of take stock of all the ways in which, you know, especially in this day and age where we have these ideas and we go, hey, wouldn't that be neat if we could create this? And sure enough, already most of this stuff that we've imagined, it's already come about out there in the world. Like, it's like, oh, wouldn't that be neat if this, bam, now all of a sudden. So it's like, it gives us so much, more assuredness and intuition with our vibes and imagination of going, I want to do this. Well, now I know, I have the idea, and it can be done very easily, effortlessly, and just like just out there in the world. Like, and what's so exciting is like we now become the distributors of this stuff. Like, for instance, with Anchor, I could distribute it to. it immediately distributes it to iTunes and like four other podcast sites. Now, I've been going through my research and finding a buttload of different resources. I'm going to be writing an article about this, but I just went down another rabbit hole. I thought I was finished when I went up to number 20, but now I found a whole other cavalcade of resources that I've been sending it off to and getting word on. So once I get the word back from that, I'm gonna publish that all in a big old article. But what I can do is, let's say for instance, if you sign up for Anchor, what's so cool is that already just goes right up to iTunes. So anybody can just subscribe, bam, right there, easily, effortlessly. This stuff gets distributed and it goes into apps. So now anyone who's got a podcast app, like, I mean, dude, I can give you a list of all these different podcasts, like the popular ones that I've submitted to, and they've just go, yep, okay, we like it. And I'm going, wow, that's crazy. I'm now my own radio station. And the same thing for you with all the information that you have about drawing, all the tips about drawing, all the information. I mean, you could have a whole variety podcast just about, you know, your experiences, your process. You could tell all of your stories. You're a great storyteller about what you went through in having your corporate job, having one foot in that, and going, you know what? I'm going to dare myself to go into renting out a table at a convention and putting out my art. And that first step that you ever did that, when was that? What year was that? Now, is that okay? So, is that when your first show was? The first time that you actually went to a show?
First show was in 2014.
Okay. Okay. So in that short 4 years, you've already been able to quit your corporate job and just purely go full time, you know, into drawing, going out touring at all these different conventions. I mean, the fact that you gave yourself, see, your current self right now is looking at this and living this, and all of that back there, the guy in 2014, is someone, it's just a memory in our brains. How funny is that? That you actually lived through that world, and little did he realize that this guy right now would exist, but he trusted that he would exist. Otherwise, he wouldn't have taken those first steps. I love that idea. It's so crazy. It just wraps itself up in this nice bow of infinity. You, okay, that first time, what was that first show that you go, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and give myself, I'm gonna trust myself and just go out to this first show and test it?
So, honestly, I created a fan art piece and I was, like, not sure if I wanted to do it or not. And then my buddy Sean was one who was like, what's this fan art for C2E2? I'm like, he's like, come on, man, take a shot. I'm like, I only have 8 pieces. But he's like, just do it. Let's just try it. And he starts signing me up for it. So I'm like, all right. And, you know, having only 8 pieces, I made all my expenses back, which is amazing. But what's crazy, what's really, really fun about it was the amount of, like, I don't want to use the word attention, but it was like the love I was getting to my work. You know, like, my style was different, right? So that's what people always see about my work. They're like, it's different. It's not the same like everybody else.
Wow. Wow.
That's a compliment.
Dude. Wow. And you were saying because you're highly inspired by abstract art.
Yeah, well, I said my style is abstract, but it's highly inspired by Impressionism, right? So, if you see Van Gogh or Monet in my style, you see Bart or like Mobius, like, those are all my influences. You see John Harris or John Hurst, those are all my influences. Like, so whenever someone's like, ooh, this has got a lot of John Burke in it, I'm like, you're my people.
Like, you're my people, yeah.
So when somebody's like, what inspires you? Sometimes I'm just like, yes. You know, like, take a yes. Like, I love Impressionism. Like, Impressionism is, like, my largest influence, okay? So if you like Van Gogh, Monet, Picasso, you know, those are, like, my largest influences, right? The old artists, you know, but my point is, like, those artists had something different that when initially they started doing it, people were like, that's fucking weird. Van Gogh, unfortunately, didn't get popular until he was dead. But, like, Picasso and Monet, people looked at their stuff. Like, and the Impressionists were looked at, they were, like, lazy, right? Because their stuff wasn't, like, when you look at Monet, felt like Caravaggio's, right? Or like a Dali, I can't think of another artist to compare it right now, but paintings like Raphael, they were like very detailed. And then you got this Monet character coming along, or Manet for that matter, who did like very quick paintings that didn't look like anything. But when he took a moment to like step back like 10 feet, right? Like, take a moment to like look at it, step back and look at it, and then you're like, oh shit, I see mountains, I see a face, I see a dude giving me the middle finger, you know? Like,
yeah, half the fun is trying to wade through the mishmash of colors. It's half of the fun is trying to kind of make sense of it in your own brain, and but seeing it in front of you as like just the pieces. But you're going, okay, I'm imagining this into a you know, a thing with lines drawn around it, so to speak. You know, you're like, you're kind of trying to like go, you know, it really forces you to use your imagination, which is beautiful. Yeah. Dude, you know what? What a great way of redefining something, because, you know, okay, so we all have that intention of going, okay, I want to stay true to my imagination, you know, I view this as like a sacred child, and I want to honor it, I want to get exactly what's down in my imagination. Now, if we were taught that we appreciate both that and, as you're saying, the happy accidents, which also David Lynch loves to say, the happy accidents, where there seems to be a, quote, technical difficulty, you if we're taught to embrace that and go, that's actually an actual extra addition, that's a wink from the universe, that's a high five from the universe going, hey, I want a hand in this, I like what you're doing, I'm going to add something to it that you didn't expect, okay, but just incorporate it, please, you know. And if we were to like accept it that way, oh my god, just imagine the amazing amount of output there would be. God, how brilliant.
It's gonna be different tomorrow. Like, the painting that he did, like, with a haystack sunset, he was cooking those things out, like, once per hour or something. Like, that's fucking crazy if you think about it. But he's basically talking about, like, saying, I'm just gonna paint, and then whatever comes out, it comes out of it, right?
Wow, what a fun exercise that would be for an artistic outing. I've been thinking so much more lately about getting into painting, because that is really truly. But I've been thinking about that. I was thinking about the idea of, as you were telling me this, how cool that would be for a bunch of writers to go out with their canvases and their paints and everything, and they go, okay, every 40 minutes, you must paint for 40 minutes. You must have a finished painting. And you're all, you know, you each kind of got your own little area that you're looking at. And then, bam, you got another 40 minutes. And you got another 40 minutes. You got another 40 minutes. And it would be such a fun way to train to train someone to be able to see how fast they could capture that stuff, you know, in such a short amount of time. That would be such a great exercise, I think.
I mean, that's like, I'm in a light drawing class down here where they say, we do short sessions, right? We get their model in front of you. In the first couple of sessions, they'll say, we're going to draw for a minute. You really can't draw a person in a minute. It's fucking hard, okay? But you draw what you can in a minute, right? It's not like, you're like, I kind of have an idea of where the shapes are going to go. I'm not that good at it. And I've only met a couple of people who like are that good at it, right? I only know so many artists who get that 40-minute mark and produce it. Like, pristine work. I work for 40 minutes. It still looks like I only worked at it for 20, right? Because I'm not that good at anatomy. But that's good exercise. Good exercise to have. Like, and another expense is just draw what you see. Like when I was just in Germany for a week, okay? The group I was with was probably the laziest vacation family ever. They wanted to sleep every day from like 2 to 8.
Whoa.
Which meant when they went down for their nap, which I would just call sleeping, I would just go on my own and I would go exploring. And I was like sitting at a bar and like, I found some bars in local bars and I just sat there with my, I've been drawing a lot on my iPad.
Awesome.
So I was drawing, like, random things, you know, like cups and the tables and the chairs and the people. And I was trying to draw shapes.
Incredible.
Yeah. And, I'm getting better at it. And it's cool because I make friends. I make some friends that way. And people are like, oh, you're an artist. And I would show my work. And they'd be like, oh, that's really nice. And my head, I was like, please don't rob me from my iPad. Like,
right.
Just let me get back to the hotel. But I made a lot of friends out there. When we were in Berlin, I made friends with the security guard in the hotel and his friends and his girlfriend. They're all nice people who really like artists. You know, it's like Berlin's got a huge, like, renaissance for the arts, and it's insane. And it's one of the few places I've been other than Paris where, like, they find out you're an artist. You're like, what a field there. Which is kind of a cool feeling. You know, it's a cool feeling when you go to a party and someone's like, that guy's the artist. And everyone's like, oh!
That's awesome.
You know, it's a cool feeling. I rarely get that feeling out here, right? Like, but what I do, it's like, I relish it. It's like, yeah, man. I'm like fucking Gandalf up in this thing.
It's great. So you're out in, what were you doing in Germany?
So my friend, Michael, who works for United Airlines, for a week.
Oh my God.
So I was like, yeah, it was his family and myself, but him and I shared a room, and his son and his ex-wife were in a room. They're friends, apparently. It's fine. But he's like, you know, we're going to Frankfurt, we'll go to Berlin, we'll go to Munich. And Munich is very old school still. But if you're following me on Instagram, I posted some photos. I went to a castle, which is amazing. I went to the castle that inspired Walt Disney.
Oh my God! Whoa,
so
dude!
Basically,
you gotta be kidding me. So the magic castle that you go to Disneyland and you see, that is the castle?
That is the castle. It's called
Schwenstein
Castle. Type it in. It's basically King Ludwig. The Mad King Ludwig. It's like second to last castle he built. Look it up. Like the castle that you see, the Magic Kingdom, is designed after this castle. On the outside, okay? The inside of this castle is full of rooms. There's like 75 rooms versus the Magic Kingdom that has no rooms, right? I think it has one room. Because it's just the one. You ever been to Disney World? That castle is just a facade, okay?
Right, right.
Outside. But there's other things in this castle that, like, there's a giant painting of a forest that is the very painting they use that Disney pretty much sketched while he was in there because he can't take photographs. They probably sketch like a madman. But that forest is what they use for Bambi.
Dude!
stuff is used, like, you can see, like, the areas are used for Sleeping Beauty. There's other paintings in there that inspired a lot of Disney. I mean, you can look it up, and then just look up Disney versus that castle. I guarantee you this dude took multiple trips to that castle, and it just gets like a madman, because there's so many influences in there. It's amazing.
God, that's incredible. That's so cool that you were there. Did you soak it in, or were you like, dude, Walt Disney was hanging around in this castle, and I'm looking at this painting that he was looking at.
An old hanging around in this castle. Like, I got to go to the, like, it showed the dining room, the kitchen, the bedroom, the bedroom that they took him away from. I was like, his old bed is still there. I'm
what?
Like, oh, I was yeah. Like, so this, you know, the whole story behind the Mad King Ludwig is he was being called the fairy tale king, okay? He was truly an artist, you can tell. He had visions of building his castle. He was the last king of Bavaria. He didn't want to rule Bavaria. He wanted to be a fucking, like, fucking fantasy painter is what he wanted to be. Like,
oh my god. Incredible.
They called him the Swan King because he was in love with this fairy tale from Germany about a guy who the knight is probably like swan. So you'll see, like, remnants of swans all over the castle.
The fairy tale is about someone who, a guy who falls in love with a swan? Is that what you said?
It's a knight that travels around in a chariot pulled by swans.
Oh, a chariot that looks like a swan.
Yeah. Like, you know how Thor rides on a chariot pulled by, like, swans, I think?
Oh, it's pulled by a swan.
Pulled by a swan.
Oh, interesting, interesting, interesting. So, did he try to recreate some of that stuff in the kingdom?
Look out for fucking fantasy world, man. It's amazing. It's like being at Disney without the ride, okay?
Whoa!
Like, after wallpaper, I got the book. I had to buy the book because the only way to start the wallpaper got on is Family Crest is St. George, who's known for slaying the dragon. If you know the story of St. George. So there's tons of paintings in there of St. George fucking slaying dragons on a horse with a lance.
Dude,
fucking creepy, man.
What the hell, dude? That would be a fun story to bring to a movie, you know, to make a movie from. That guy sounds awesome.
Yeah, so, like, I was just like, hang on a second, okay? Hold on a second. I gotta
send a text. So did he ever dress up like some of these characters?
Away, and I assume the parking garage is in the hotel.
Yeah.
Let me try that again. It says I'm 9 minutes away, and I assume the parking garage is in the hotel? Question mark. Okay. Sorry about that, Kurt.
That's all right.
So
real quick, you're arriving at your next location now for where you're going to be setting up?
Yeah, we're here a day early. Like, my friend and I are staying at the hotel.
So what?
Basically, set up in the morning.
What's the name of the convention?
Origin Game Fair.
And then where exactly is it being held at?
Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, cool.
6 hours. It took me 6 hours.
Oh my god. Do you know what your table number is or anything yet? So,
I posted it on Twitter the other day. I think it's like, I can share it with you once I'm not driving. I know my booth number. I have a corner. I got a corner this time, man. I ain't fuck around. I got two tables. I got a bunch of, you follow me on Instagram?
Yes.
You should go check out my booth from Anime Central, which is like 2 weeks ago. I had huge panels for wall behind me. I had all my artwork.
Oh, that's incredible.
And everyone said the colors, like, my tables are so colorful that they could see me from, like, down the way.
Oh, that's great. Oh, so how many pieces have you brought with you today?
Prints, I have 50 metal, I have 10 different pieces, I got a lot of work. I'm hoping, you know, this show last year, I made close to 8.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm hoping for the same numbers.
Wow, dude, that is so exciting. I mean, just the fact that you believed in your vision, you followed your instincts, you said, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and try out these shows. And oh yeah, so okay, so when you did that first show, you sold all your pieces, and then was that enough? That was just, you were hooked then, huh? After you did that first show, you were just like, okay.
At that first show, I literally made $800. Okay.
Oh my God.
I was so excited to be at a show showing my work. I remember that Sunday, Sean took over the last 5 hours of the show, so I had to go to a local wedding. So I remember I left the show, went to the hotel room, changed into my suit, went to a wedding, but I wasn't even, everyone's like, you're so happy to be here. I'm like, I'm just happy because I just did this show where I made all this money, which being $800, I was like, that's the most money I've ever made on a weekend.
Yeah, right? Well, and also the fact that it was your art that you sold that made you that money. Like, dude.
Exactly. I didn't make $800 by mowing lawn. Like, I made $800 working a show selling my art.
Oh, you know? Oh, how satisfying.
So, like, you know, and then, like, I remember after that show, my next show, that was like $800, right? $800. I'm like, I'm satisfied. Like, who would it be? And then I remember the next show after that was Wizard World. I think it was Wizard World or Indiana. I think it was Wizard World, where I did okay. I think I did like $1,000 maybe, maybe a little more. And I was like, that's awesome. You know? Like, I just made a little bit more than I made at the last show. But then we went to Indiana. And I remember when I did the show in Indiana, my buddy Yancey came with me, and we were doing the show, and I made $3,000, right?
Mmm.
Holy crap, what just happened?
Dude! Whoa!
So, like, that's when I actually had that, like, I guess you'd call it an epiphany, right?
Where, big time.
And I was looking at the art, but in my head, I was like, oh, like your style, you're on.
Dude.
Like, working, you know, like, so, I remember that's what I was doing, and then I remember I did, you know, I went to a workshop 1 year, and that's where I was, like, starting to, like, I remember the workshop was more like, why aren't you working on your own stuff? Like, why are you still working on fan art, right? And I was just like, I don't know, because it's the easiest thing I can make. When I first did Jupiter, my night at Jupiter, he took me 3 months, right? Because I had no clue what I'm fucking doing, right? I'm just like, I'm going to create my own character, right? I challenge you, Kurt, to make your own character this week. And
okay. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and try that. You've inspired me.
And have fun with it. Don't do what I did, overthink it, okay?
Right.
Have fun with it. What I realized later with my later characters was when I had fun with it, I could finish a character in like a week. But when I wasn't having fun with it, and I was overthinking it, like, because in my head I was thinking, everyone knows how to draw Batman. Batman's easy to draw. Everybody knows how to draw Spider-Man. Spider-Man's easy to draw. Nobody knows how to draw the Knight of Jupiter. I don't even fucking know what he looks like. Right?
That's great. I don't even know what he looks like.
I don't even know what he looks like. Yeah. I had his idea of him wearing a red coat and him, like, you know, hang on a second, all right, I gotta see this direction here. Tell me a time, 1, 3, 4? Yeah. So, like, I had this vision of him, and what I've learned over the years is do a mind map, okay? So you basically draw, don't even draw. You're like, my character, for example, Jupiter, okay? It's called the Knight of Jupiter. And I wrote that down, and then I'm like, what does he look like? Alien. So I wrote the word alien down. He's wearing a long coat. Initially, he was headless, but he has a head now. He's got four arms. He's got a crystal that sits in the middle of his forehead, kind of like Vision, but it doesn't operate like Vision. It gives him a higher focus. Little things, so, like, I made a whole mind map, right? It just went on forever, okay? It's long. It's, like, 30 different things I wrote down, basically. And you take all that, and then it helps you create the piece, right? When you're creating the piece now, you're looking at it going, okay, do I have the four arms in here? Do I have the red coat? Do I have the crystal? Like, if you have an attitude for your character, write that down. Does my character evoke that attitude? Right?
Dude, that's awesome.
And that's the kind of, like, so, like, I'm working on a piece called The Black Rose, which is not black nor a rose. But that's the name of it. It doesn't have to look like a rose. These are things I'm learning, okay? It doesn't have to look like a black rose. It's called a black rose. It describes an artifact that feeds into your brain and gives you knowledge. Like, it's got a whole write-up. It looks like a galaxy swirling. So, like, when people read about it, like, so basically they're gonna read about it, and then when they see it, it's a book like me, right? It should look like what I just wrote.
Oh, that's awesome. Man, so how many pages do you think your book is going to be? It's still called The Ancient Ones, right?
Let me call you right back, Kurt.
Okay.
Right back.
Bye.
What's up, man?
And there you have it, a little interview with Alan Panicle, phenomenal artist, friend of mine. We used to have a writer's group together called The Insomniacs, and then he put out some publications called The Tempest Writers. So that felt good to be able to get him on here, huh? That was great. So I better edit this, get this in Anchor. Talk to you later.
Hi, it's Mickey Dolenz here. You're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
Going to read to you from another smidgen of my idea book. So each of these is a little bit here.
And now for another episode of, quote, petting my furry, unquote. Scurvy movie. A man who predicts that California will stay attached and there will never be a big one. Teach the audience to want to cook for something. Teach the audience to want to cook for something. Game show. Quote, what's your personal address? Unquote. They ask people in the street, what is your personal address? If the person says, that's personal, the interviewer goes, exactly, then gives that person a free t-shirt. A game show where they reveal real-life people's home addresses on the air, even celebrities. Quote, diplomatic immunity, unquote, movie. Diplomatic immunity. A man is looking out at the windy, rainy day, talking to it, asking it if it would like to switch channels to a more favorable one, where the sun is out and it's warm. He hears a dog attack off in the distance and says out loud, wow, I hope that person is all right. Man too can be heard from inside saying, come on back in. The Yahtzee is getting cold. Build your own time machine. They bring camera inside box. Quote, what's your time zone? Twilight zone. See paranormal activity. Oh, here's an idea. Underwater zombies. I don't know if that was something that was invented or not yet. Where are we? Blue Bob. Make video for Blue Bob. Yeah, that would be great. Oh, GIFs that come to life. GIFs that come to life when a mouse is dragged over certain areas. Oh, this is from when I performed at House of Blues. April 1st, House of Blues. 7:30, 40 minutes, $10 cover. Matt Doherty of the Middle Class, Cassia Conway of All Wrong, and The Plans Change. Chaz Sutton from The City Beneath. Ask audience how many are connected to the internet, and they have a Facebook moment and a Twitter moment. Video cameras, YouTube accounts, talk about friends, fun stories, hand out copies of the comic. New Max Neptune episodes at every show. People look forward to reading the new ones. Oh, that was one of my plans. I was going to make I have a Max Neptune comic that I've been working on. So that was the plan. Each time I perform, and I was performing under the moniker. I rarely ever, if ever, use that term, but moniker. My moniker was I Am an Orphan, which is harkening back to the ideas of the Blues Brothers. Oh, I wrote something here, hang gliders. Asking David Lynch to use his music in a film. Quote, life happens, get on the bus, unquote. Hand out 3D glasses for the audience. Ah, here's the address. Okay, flyer. Address, date, times, all ages, doors open, 6:30, 7:30. 7:30, Kirk Lendon from Max Neptune. 8:30, Matt Doherty from The Middle Class. 9:30, Cassia Conway of All Wrong and Plans Change. 10:30, Chaz Sutton from City Beneath. 8430 Sunset Boulevard, West Hollywood, California, 90069. Kurt Clendenin and the Menacing Thumb. Bring Tom York's pick. Oh, yeah, that's right. I played a show with a pick. Tom York, my friend Lindsay Locke, gave it to me. There's something in here that seemed really interesting. So, oh, this was something. Putting binaural beats under videos. Kurt Schwitters combined with Nine Inch Nails. Get a hold of Ken Nordine and Ray Bradbury. Well, that was before Ray Bradbury died. A man who claims he's responsible for getting all those popular videos the hits. Hollywood Cemetery movie. Oh, here, look at this. My lyrics. This book I must have brought with to the show. Have students draw their most ideal realities. Their most craziest dream. Okay. So, where's this? Ah, here we go. You're going to have a mini concert right here. Just a couple of these songs. Here we go. Here we go. This one's called I Wish I Did. The shine, the show's when you open the door. Align all the elements that you have in store. Or you say, I wish I did. I really wish I did. What information do you know about how harmony flows and all our different waves that move along quite the same? Your vibe has felt through everything you do. It's time to gift us the realest you.
I wish I did. Shine, I wish I did. Wish I did.
As you can guess, that one's called Wish I Did. This one is called Unexpected, which I unexpectedly realized it's about a palindrome. It's about infinity. It's about You are what you eat. You are. It's about precipitation. Anyway, here we go. Unexpected. The song version of that, the recorded version of that was recorded with Lawrence August and Crafty St. James. That is out there somewhere. I believe it's on soundcloud.com/CEC or soundcloud.com/IMNOrphan. We're going to see if I can remember the chords to this. This is Dimension 5. Originally in the recording, Carrie Hardwick, she lent her vocals, and it was just such a beautiful thing. So, let's see if I could do justice to this. I have a hard time sleeping at night. My brain puts up too much of a fight. In a state of amaze and astound, information throws me to the ground. Faster than the speed of thought.
Energy Biv is bigger than we were taught. I crawl inside and among the clouds. I swim through oceans of verbs and nouns.
Dimension 5. And when that song came to me, just like I wish I did, those songs, bam, blasted me. The thoughts came to me so fast. And I later found out during a shamanistic trip at the Love Seed Festival, I heard all of these songs that came to me. Unexpected was one of them too. Another one is Cosmic Children. Do I have that here? I got Great Unknown. I sang that for you guys the other day. Oh. Huh. Let's try this. Huh. Whoa. Okay. This was written by Lawrence August. Let's see if we're going to try to remember these. Oh, man. I would love it if I could remember this. Oh, my God. Let's see.
I can only chew a meter, but I bit a quarter mile. Now I'm hoping that the dentist can fix this broken smile. Words are worth a little, but actions pay the price. Deserted in the middle of pain and paradise. Believe it now, believe me now. I didn't want to leave you out, but see now. Now, I'd rather never be around. Clinging to ideals, still thinking what is real. Singing how I feel, bittersweet the meal. Victory's abandoned, I'm losing. chosen my companion. 2 feet, but barely standing on a ship that has no captain. Leaving now, believe me now, I didn't want to leave you out. See now, you're grieving now, I'd rather never be around. Silence lost its luster in the quiet, quiet of a hushed word. Screams of soft insanity, a scene of lost calamity. I bit the hand I fed in this fit that I the word. Turning in my bed, that burning in my head. I'm leaving now, believe me now, I didn't want to leave you out. But see now, you're grieving now, I'd rather never be around. I'd rather never be around. I'd rather never be around. I'd rather never be around.